I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gau Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
Matt Peterson in for Glenn with you until 9 o'clock. Join us also tomorrow, Wednesday night, 7 to 9, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560. I'll be back for Dynamo All Access. Soccer fans, a moment for Bud Light, the official beer of the Houston Dynamo and the Mexican national team. Bud Light reminds you to get over to HoustonDynamo.com and get your season tickets for both the Dynamo and Houston Dash. Bud Light reminds you to get down to the beautiful BBVA Compass Stadium to catch the Dynamo in international soccer. Bud Light, the perfect beer for whatever happens. Bud Light, the official beer of the CONCACAF Gold Cup. A couple good places to watch the games this weekend. Bayern Munich, a wonderful place to catch international soccer, including the Premier League. Bayern Munich open for the early Premier League matches. Say hello to Raymond. Catch some of the best soccer matches from around the world in a wonderful open soccer environment. Bayern Munich on Louisiana, another good location, the Gorgeous Gale, one of our Soccer Matters top spots to catch the Dynamo Premier League and more, 555 Morningside in Westview, the Gorgeous Gale. We spoke with Brian Dunseth a bit earlier about MLS and more. Here is the excellent commentator for Fox Sports, Real Salt Lake and more. Brian, welcome.
What's up, man? How are you?
Doing great, doing great. We were in Real Salt Lake a few months ago. Salt Lake got a 2-0 win. Dynamo hosting Salt Lake in about a week and a half. It's a game probably both teams need to win. It's a little bit early to start talking about it, but why not? What do you think of Salt Lake, and what do you think of the Dynamo heading into that game about a week and a half from now?
Yeah, it's really two teams heading in different directions. It's been a disaster year for Real Salt Lake in all aspects. Devastated because of two new teams coming in the league with Orlando City and New York City FC. An older team that was in a transition year, coming off a disappointment of a final 5-0 loss in the first round of the playoffs in 2014 against the LA Galaxy. A switch to new formations, a couple guys getting a few years older, a couple young guys that were untested, international duty, injuries to impact players. A team that hasn't really found its way, or at least has been able to find its way with injuries, suspensions, international duty, whatnot. But make no mistake about it. It's a must-win situation. There's no room for error. They backed themselves in a corner. They still have CONCACAF Champions League to play, and they've got themselves 10 days to prepare for another difficult test in Texas, where historically they've struggled against both FC Dallas and the Houston Dynamo.
Brian Dunn, to our death. You touched on age. I think age is a very unique thing in MLS right now, because I think some of the more experienced teams usually are right there at the end winning MLS Cup, as we saw with the Galaxy 3 of the last 4 years. But there's some other teams. You know, Colorado hasn't really been applauded for having 7 of 10 field players routinely starting. But then you have guys like Orlando, which brought a lot of young players in this year, looked very good at times, but they're struggling. What do you think about the age issue in MLS this year and the challenge of kind of moving on from veterans?
Yeah, I mean, you saw it up close with Houston. You know, when you rely on a veteran group that you can rely on game in, game out for so long, there's a certain standard that's set. But at the same time, with that success, with that familiarity, sometimes it breeds inconsistency in terms of development. And there's no wiggle room in Major League Soccer for struggles. A team that can be dominant one year can really struggle the next year if they're not careful in staggering their veteran leadership with kind of the next generation of young players coming through. It doesn't help some teams that aren't big city teams, big money spenders, when there's mechanisms thrown in mid-season. But listen, at the end of the day, there's no excuses for any team whatsoever. You've got to figure out a way from an infrastructure standpoint to pad out your team, to create enough of competition and spots that when you do have international duty, international windows, suspensions or injuries, that you're able to absorb those type of losses. Some teams can, some teams can't. And this year, unfortunately, for Real Salt Lake fans, RSL falls underneath the group that can't deal with it.
Brian Dunseth, our guest. Brian, what do you make of the Western Conference race? To me, it's fascinating. I think so many people are assuming Seattle's going to get in. I'm not one of those people. I think they probably will, but I think it's not a shoo-in that all these new players are going to click. I think it's very wide open. I think outside of L.A. and Vancouver, who look like pretty much locks, I think the other four spots are up for grabs. Do you agree with that at all? And what do you make for the final seven games?
Yeah, I do, Matt. I've been saying since day one it's going to be an absolute disaster in the Western Conference, not because of lack of quality, but because of the additions of the Houston Dynamo and Sporting Kansas City to the West. The inconsistency of expansion teams with New York City SC and Orlando City. Any of the teams in the West would be, at worst, fourth place in the Eastern Conference as of right now. And that just shows you disparity amongst the quality of the league. The Eastern Conference is incredibly weak. The difference in the West, I think, this year is that there's been a dominance in games, whether at home or on the road, where Western Conference teams are able to pick up maximum points. And that's going to be the telltale sign. That'll be the ultimate decider in the Western Conference. It's not just the head-to-head games that matter. It's who picks up the most amount of points against a very deficient Eastern Conference in 2015.
One man who you know pretty well, Jason Kreiss, he's now in New York City FC, and he's had an interesting year. I think it's kind of refreshing how honest he's been, how outspoken he's been. You see it all the time with first-year managers in MLS. They're very calm. They want to, you know, see the long-term goal and be very, very political. He's been very honest the last few weeks. Are you surprised by that, and what do you make of his comments about unspecific players?
Yeah, you know, Matt, I think it's really a two-point argument. I think first and foremost, he's been one of the few models of consistency in terms of how he's built teams. His mantra, the team is the star, building a group of players that weren't necessarily DP players. We always term them the unintentional designated players because when RSL went out and signed a player, it wasn't the salary cap that put him in the DP spot. It was the allocation. It was the purchase of the player that pushed them into the designated player category. That is a much different formula where he's at now at New York City FC. I think the results are adding the pressure. I think the players that he relied on in terms of building a roster from scratch aren't playing up to the standard which he expected, including some of his own former players at Real Salt Lake. And ultimately, he's playing for an incredible ownership group that has had a ton of success with Manchester City, that has Brinks money, monopoly money, that they're not afraid to throw around to get things right. And I think the pressure's on Jason Kreiss. I think it's evident with how he's publicly challenging his players. It's more than evident with where that team is in the Eastern Conference. And it'll be fascinating to see how this ownership group gives Jason Kreiss time at New York City FC or continues to be the cutthroat type of ownership that we've seen in their handlings with other clubs around the world.
Do you wish more coaches were like Kreiss and Bruce Arena and very honest about their players after a bad game, or in a salary cap league with the wages as they are and the politics in the locker room, it's just not realistic in 2015 in MLS?
I think it's very realistic regardless of what the salary cap issues may or may not be. I think it's refreshing. I don't know about you, Matt.
Yep.
I love when coaches come out off the cuff and just start telling people it's not good enough. I think we need more villains. We got plenty of heroes.
Yep.
Every weekend, it's all about who should you come watch. This is why there's superstars in the league. I'd much rather see who are the villains, who are the guys that you're going to just love to hate. Ever since Alejandro Moreno retired, Steven Lenhart's impending retirement in San Jose because of persistent knee injuries, I think the closest villain that we can really talk about is probably Blas Perez with FC Dallas. So to have coaches that are willing to come out, the Caleb Porters, the Bruce Arenas, to say that their teams aren't good enough, I absolutely love it because it gives me more fodder to talk about, whether that's at the weekend or midweek in different shows.
I caught your broadcast, Real Salt Lake beating Seattle, and you said that in 10 years from now, MLS will be very similar to Europe. The only difference will be the Champions League. How do you see it getting there? For me, it's, you know, finding these good deals, finding non-exorbitant transfer fees and importing these very good players. But you obviously know it a lot better than me. What are you hearing, and what do you think the steps are going to be over these next few years as MLS really makes a big leap?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time this morning actually with Gary Stevenson from Major League Soccer. And for those that don't know who Gary Stevenson is, grab your closest computer, head over to Google, and fire that thing up and Google search Gary Stevenson. He was a driving force behind the Golf Channel, behind the Pac-12 networks, and behind NBA Digital. And if there's a guy that you ever want pushing the bell curve in favor of Major League Soccer, it's this guy. When the collective bargaining agreement was announced and the players felt like there was a gigantic injustice that had been done, very quietly, Major League Soccer and some marketing went out and started re-upping deals. Budweiser was out. Heineken was in. Chevrolet was out. You have Audi coming in. All of these big sponsorship deals. But very quietly, on the backside of TSN, RDN, Univision, Fox Sports 1, ESPN, very quietly, Gary Stevenson was the driving force behind new television deals for Sky Sports, Eurosport, Globosat in Brazil, deals in mainland China, deals in Africa, deals in the Middle East, Gold TV down in South America. Worldwide, the opportunity for a fan base to watch Major League Soccer's product is being shown in ways that we could have only dreamed about and we could only imagine when David Beckham was the very first designated player, the mechanism, DP, being brought into Major League Soccer. In this past 7-8 months alone, the ability for fans worldwide to see this product is nothing short of amazing. I heard an interesting stat, and bear with me. LA Galaxy versus New York City FC a couple Sundays ago on ESPN on Sky Sport was the number one draw outside and overtaking League One, Bundesliga, La Liga, and when you start to think about that, that an MLS game on a Sunday outdrew ratings-wise the top leagues around the world, that is a frightening, frightening perspective. And it makes you realize that, man, if we could have three or four more teams that could play at the level of the LA Galaxy right now with those type of names sprinkled in, I keep using the analogy, it's 1980s NBA and it's late 90s EPL. The television revenue, the broad scale awareness, and the fact that it's a universal sport—we're further ahead of the wave than people realize. And I think Major League Soccer, with the amount of money in that war chest, is going to create even more mechanisms to create a way for each individual MLS team to have 1 through 9 be able to compete on a world level, and. Basically, what I was trying to say last weekend that you referred to earlier, I think in the next 10 to 15 years, the only difference between a player choosing to go to Major League Soccer versus going to Bundesliga, English Premier League, La Liga, or Serie A is going to be the opportunity to play on a Champions League team, play on Tuesday and Wednesday nights, which we all highly agree is the most exciting tournament in the world. That will be the only determining factor. The rest, family life, security, money, a league that's on in a growth spurt that we only dreamed of 5-10 years ago. I think it's all in the forefront.
Well, Brian, I agree with you, and I loved how thorough you were with that answer, because it's something you can't get into on a game broadcast, but you can on platforms like this. So thanks again for your insight.
No, I appreciate it, Matt. As always, thanks for having me, man.
Brian, loaded show. We'd love to talk more, but we've got to get to others. But enjoy it, and you can catch Brian, Real Salt Lake, Fox Sports 1, and Sirius XM FC 4 to 6 Central Time on Channel 85, Sirius XM FC. Thanks again, Brian.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Before we go to Paul, here's a word here for Liberty Kitchen, one of my favorite restaurants in Houston. In the Heights and Liberty Kitchen and Oysterette on San Felipe near the Galleria. You'll find award-winning chefs at both of these restaurants serving up the best in seafood and meats. There's the raw bar at Liberty Kitchen and Oysterette, plus the smoked salmon at Liberty Kitchen in the Heights. Fresh fish, oysters, gumbo, right on down to amazing steaks and burgers. They're also serving breakfast on the weekends. It's an amazing dining experience, Liberty Kitchen and Liberty Kitchen and Oysterette. LibertyKitchen.com, LibertyKitchenOysterette.com. Carl Eves is involved with the HFA and a huge soccer fan. Paul, speaking of soccer fans, we know you've been holding. You're on Soccer Matters.
Glad at.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Good, not too bad. I wanted to talk about the importance of goalkeeping, especially when it comes down to, winning the Champions League if you're an English Premier League team.
All right, well, go for it.
Well, let me ask you something, Matt. At what round do they start getting into the knockout stages where it comes down to two legs for the Champions League?
16. Round of 32, round of 16.
Yeah, exactly. It's 16. So once you get to the round of 16, then you got 8, then you got 4, and then you got 2. You have 4 rounds where it could come down to a shootout.
Good point. Good point.
If it comes down to a shootout, how important would De Gea be? How important would Neuer be? How good does Pep Guardiola feel knowing that if it comes down to a shootout, you have Neuer?
It's a good point. You know, I think my point was all about Real Madrid, and they go for the stars, and it's attacking stars, so it seems weird for them to go after a goalkeeper this hard. But maybe that's just what they need. Maybe after going so big on Bale, they're looking more at the defensive side of things.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we all need to score goals. I will say, though, as things get tense and you get into these late rounds in Champions League and everyone kind of tightens up and kind of plays a little Serie-ish, just putting 10 behind the ball, you know, goalkeeper comes is just absolutely crucial. And I will also say that the one thing that I think Real Madrid is really liking with De Gea is sometimes, you know, Madrid is a very patriotic place, not as patriotic as the past. Up at the Northeast, but they want a Spanish goalkeeper. They want to see somebody on their national team come together. So there's more to it. They want, you know, I don't know their back four off the top of my head right now, but I know they still have Sergio Ramos. You know, they want, you know, whoever's going to be in there, I think it'd be nice to have them at a Spaniard and I suppose Blancos kind of interconnected and up to snuff with the Spanish national team.
Well, Paul, we appreciate the insight. That's what the show is for. So thanks for the other opinion, and thanks for supporting Soccer Matters.
Cheers.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Rodrigo De Luna about Argentina and more. But first, a quick word for the Daspit Law Firm. It's working for you 24/7. The Houston personal injury attorney handles personal injury cases for plant refinery accidents, medical injury, industrial accidents, 18-wheeler accidents, right down to boat and car accidents to wrongful death. DaspitLaw.com. Call 713-364-0915. DaspitLaw.com. With the Daspit Law Firm, you can rest assured in times of stress, depending on the circumstances of your accident, that you have a hard-hitting personal injury attorney on your side to fight for your right to compensation. Contact the Daspit Law Firm, supporters of the game of soccer, 713-364-0915. Toll-free, 888-273-0145. Both in English and Spanish, Soccer Matters thanks the Daspit Law Firm. After the break, Rodrigo De Luna with you till 9 o'clock. This is Soccer Matters.
I'm
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gau Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters. Matt Peterson in for Glenn. Glenn is back east, spending time with the family and also getting ready for Princeton Rutgers Thursday night college soccer. It is September 1, but it's still Texas summer, and it's in full swing, and you're probably tried the energy-saving tip about raising the temperature on your thermostat when you leave the house, only to arrive in the evening and have to sit in a hot home. I've done that sometimes. Well, Amigo Energy has a solution for that with our featured program of the month, Nights Free. Sign up on Nights Free, and you won't be charged for energy between 9 p.m. and 7 a.m. That's right. Turn your AC way down after 9, and you'll enjoy a nice, cool summer night. For details and to sign up, go to AmigoEnergy.com/soccermatters. And look up Nights Free, a cool way to enjoy Texas summer nights. Amigo Energy, proud partner of Soccer Matters. Well, we have Argentina coming to Houston to face Bolivia on Friday night at BBVA Compass Stadium. And our next guest has been around the team, Rodrigo De Luna. Thank you very much for joining us.
How are you today, my friend?
Doing great, doing great. It's been exciting. I know for the Houston Dynamo, we're seeing tweets from the Dynamo Academy players. They got to train beside or with Argentina. Rodrigo, were you out practice tonight?
Yes. I was there. They had a light scrimmage. It was pretty good. The kids played well. I'm sure they were excited.
Wonderful. And what was the reaction? I mean, it's a tough one with, the difference in skill and difference in age, but was there much interaction between the two?
Yes. You know, you can only look at these kids and imagine what they're going through, how they're feeling. Are they nervous? Are they excited? You know, it was fun to watch. It was a very good thing.
Great. So what are you expecting from Argentina? Obviously, they'll be looking at World Cup qualifying sometime next year. They're coming off the Copa America Championship. Just 2 years ago, they were runner-ups in the World Cup. They're bringing an A squad to Houston, all the big names. What do you think's the goal from Argentina starting Friday night at BBVA Compass Stadium and then Tuesday in Dallas against Mexico?
The thing is, like you just mentioned, Argentina has a big thorn in their side that they have to pull out with, losing to Germany in the World Cup final in Brazil and then losing to Chile in the Copa America. You know, this is something that's a claw that's stuck in them. They have to, they're kind of, if you can imagine, they're like in the corner. They have to come out and they have to really, really do well these qualifiers and qualify these in the first place, you know, because their reputation took a big hit. So this is why they're here. They're all here. They came to play Mexico. That was already arranged for Tuesday, September 8th, but they wanted one more game that they could use to warm up for the qualifiers. But they didn't want to travel cross country. They didn't want to fly to California or to New York or Miami. So we were lucky to be able to get that. They were able to get Bolivia to come and play them here in Houston. So they only have to have a four hour difference or an hour flight, right? So they could play both games and not be worn out. They'd have to fly back to Europe, you know, the players in Europe and those in Argentina. It's tiring, right? And the full squad is here with exception of a few injuries like Pastore and Higuain didn't make it. Di Maria didn't come because PSG asked for them to keep him because he didn't have much of a preseason, so they wanted him to stay and get used to playing with PSG. But everybody's here, and they're training hard. They're taking this very seriously.
Argentina's first ever visit to Houston, Texas. They'll be at BBVA Compass Stadium Friday night against Bolivia. Tickets still available at bbvacompassstadium.com. Rodrigo, you know the area. You have a good pulse on the ground. What do you think the local community is responding to this, particularly the Argentine community? There's many of them here, especially with the oil and gas industry.
Well, you know, again, everybody was wondering if Messi was going to come because there's always this, you know, because all the questions we took at the end of the Copa America and the end of the World Cup, and there was this rumors flying around that he was tired of the criticism and wasn't going to come with the national team anymore. And there was all rumor and speculation. Usually that was summed up by the Argentine press. So, you know, I think now people seeing that he is here, that the full squad is here with the exception of those who were hurt, the ones we just talked about, you know, and for Argentina coming in Houston is historic. I mean, the last time they were in Texas was in 1994 for the World Cup when they played Bulgaria at the Cotton Bowl. They haven't been back since. now you have the greatest player in the world, Messi, with them. So, yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to – and you're starting to see people hang out at the hotel trying to get autographs, and it's what everybody expects, you know.
Rodrigo De Luna, our guest, he's been around Argentina all week. They've been training at the Dynamo practice facility at Houston Sports Park all week. Give us a name or two of someone that maybe to keep an eye on Friday. Most of these names are household names, but not all. Maybe a younger player or a underrated player that might impress Friday night.
You have a young kid that plays defensive back. He's Rogelio Funes. He plays on River Plate. He's looking to make his place on the team. And you have players, you have interesting players also. You have Edgar Banega, who's a Boca Junior graduate. You know, he's probably staying in Europe, but, you know, he wants a place in the team. So he's, you know, there's a lot of kids, a lot of young guys, a lot of kids wanting to get that their spots, you know, that didn't play much in the Copa America or in the World Cup. You know, they're fighting for spots in there against the Lavesis and the Agüeros and Marco Rojas. And, you know, you have Sergio Agüero who's on goal, but you have two players that play, two goalkeepers play in Mexico for Santos and Tigres. You know, they want that spot, you know. And so it's interesting to see because there's a lot of competition for spots, especially getting ready to go to the World Cup qualifier. So it's going to be really interesting to watch. And that Houston is part of that process of preparation for World Cup qualifiers for CONMEBOL is in itself, you know, interesting.
Rodrigo De Luna, our guest. Now, talk about Bolivia. You know, they're one of the lesser-known CONMEBOL countries, but they will be a part of qualifying next year. Give us a little scouting report on them and their prospects for World Cup qualifying.
Bolivia doesn't come to Houston until Thursday, is what I'm hearing. But Bolivia also, you know, again, they're a tough team. Argentina lost them in La Paz when Maradona was the coach. They got beaten like 5-1. And Bolivia right now is winning because of the whole scandal with the FIFA and CONMEBOL and CONCACAF scandal. Their federation, some of the federation bigwigs are in jail right now, along with some of the other federation guys from Uruguay, from Leao's from CONMEBOL and all that. So they're struggling also. They're having to deal with the fallout from the scandal, and also again trying to cement a place in the World Cup. But there's a lot of new faces in Bolivia, also. So it's going to be interesting also because, again, both teams have these, you know, if you look at it, Argentina's got a thorn in the side football-wise, and Bolivia is trying to recuperate from the scandals. And at the same time, you know, try to find a place in the World Cup. And this is going to be big for them to be able to prepare against Argentina. So it will be interesting. And again, that Houston has that opportunity to see that, it's historic.
Yeah, bbvacompassstadium.com for tickets. I think just less than a couple thousand left. It will sell out, but a few days left to buy. Rodrigo, we appreciate your reports. You've been on the ground with the team, and really thanks for the insight heading into Friday.
Thanks for calling, and have a good night. Thanks again.
That's Rodrigo De Luna. You can follow him on Twitter at Rod Futt, RODFUT. We will take a break when we come back. Final half hour or so of the show. I want to thank our sponsors once again, Liberty Kitchen, 7-Up, Bud Light, Bar Munich, The Gorgeous Gale, The Daspit Law Firm, and of course, Amigo Energy. We'll take a break when we come back. We're still going to hear from Jan Christensen about a Labor Day sale at Danish Inspirations. And also, Glenn spoke with Tony DiCicco, the 1999 World Cup winning champion, head coach of the women's national team. All that coming up next with you till 9 o'clock. Matt Peterson in for Glenn on Soccer Matters.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
Matt Peterson in for Glenn, 20 minutes to go. Again, thank you to all of our sponsors, Liberty Kitchen in the Heights and Liberty Kitchen and Oysterette on San Felipe near the Galleria, 7-Up, Bud Light, Fisher Beer, the Dynamo and Mexican National Team, Bar Munich and the Gorgeous Gale, two of the best soccer bars in town, the Daspit Law Firm, and of course, Amigo Energy. We'll be joined by Danish Inspirations owner Jan Christensen. But first, Glenn Davis spoke with Tony DiCicco this weekend in Austin, the 1999 World Cup U.S. Women's National Team winning coach. Here's what they said earlier. Jan Christiansen will follow Tony DiCicco.
Tony, thank you very much for joining us.
Glenn, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for the invite.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the impact of the women winning this World Cup first and how it reaches down throughout all levels of soccer in the United States.
Yeah, I'm not even sure we have the total scope of how big this win is. First of all, you know, unbelievable TV ratings, the largest women's sporting event in history. But it's going to reach down to all those youngest players that are just getting into the game. And it's going to bring players into the game. And they have heroes and role models. And, you know, I can tell you right now, it's reached down into the college game. You see it. Players are playing slightly different style, trying to possess the ball more. So tremendous impact, and not just on the female side of the game.
Tony DiCicco was a professional soccer player in his day. So let's just talk about the overall tournament before we get into the United States. The expansion of the tournament, more teams in it. How do you think that went? And then tell me a couple of your surprise teams in this tournament, because I think our eyes were open to some other women's soccer playing nations.
Yeah, I think it went well. They went from FIFA went from 16 teams to 24 teams, and yeah, you're going to get a couple blowouts, and you did. Ecuador got beat big by Switzerland. Ivory Coast got beaten big by Germany. But the truth is, by the third game for those teams, they were very competitive, and so overall, I think it was great to expand the number of teams in the World Cup. Teams like Switzerland were great additions to the World Cup. They were attacking team, competitive. Same thing with Netherlands. Thailand won their first ever game in their first World Cup. Mexico has been in three World Cups and hasn't won a game yet. So I think expanding the field was the right thing to do. 24 teams makes that third team in four out of the six groups go through to the knockout stage, which made it very interesting in the third group games of the tournament. So, yeah, good move by FIFA.
One of the big moments, I thought, particularly for women's soccer in the United States, was after the Colombia game. Fans, ex-players spoke out that the playing of that game, the style, the way the team played, was not good enough. And despite the fact that it was a win against Colombia, that healthy pressure says something about the growth of the women's game, and that there are a lot of people here who care as much about the substance side of it as well as the result.
That's absolutely right. And I remember when I used to coach my national team, I say, ladies, you're like the Brazilian men's team. You have to win every friendly, every, you know, big game, doesn't matter whether there's injuries or not, but winning isn't enough. You have to do it with style and flair, and people have to love the way you play. And so we saw that in this World Cup, and we were winning and moving on, but we weren't doing it with the normal USA flair and style. And that Colombia game really, I thought, was a turning point, because two players were put on suspension after that game because of yellow cards, and that's Lauren Holiday and Megan Rapinoe. Morgan Bryant had to come into the game in the quarterfinal against China. She had an amazing game, and it changed the way they played. There was a few things the USA didn't do early in the tournament that are trademark USA women. High pressure defense. And, you know, you can get some easy goals when you possess the ball close to the opponent's own goal, and maybe a pass or two when you're getting a shot on goal. Jill always kind of devalued that 1v1 flank player, that artist, that take-on artist. And then the third thing was, you know, just the possession that we're used to seeing with the USA women. But in full defense of Jill Ellis, she got it right. That China quarterfinal was a different game, high pressure. China just basically survived that game 1-0. But the semifinal against Germany, same thing. And, of course, the final, Carly Lloyd got hot, and it was all fireworks. What an amazing display by the USA in that final.
All right, you mentioned Morgan Bryan and her coming back into the lineup based on the suspensions, I guess. Morgan Bryan, Julie Johnson, these are two players that played in the college game, straight into World Cups, straight into a World Cup final. They win it. What does this say for the development side of the women's college game here in the United States? And is it still the best place for female soccer players in the world to develop their game?
Well, the USA Collegiate women's soccer game is very important for the development. Now, those two players also played in youth World Cups. Julie Johnson and Morgan Bryan both won a youth World Cup in 2012. So they had some youth national team experience before they got into full team. But the college game here is incredibly important. And, you know, let's take a look at some players from around the world. Lucy Bronze voted top right back in the World Cup, top 11 by FIFA. Played her college soccer at UNC. Lena Petterman, who played her college soccer at University of Central Florida, was a key player for Germany. And they both have come out and said their college experience really helped them. So I think the college game is a piece of it. I think the professional league, the NWSL, is really a big piece also for these players to continue to evolve and get the eye of the national team coaches, both domestic, you know, Joe Ellis here in America, but other national team coaches as well.
All right, let's speak a little bit about the big event. The big event is World Cups, Olympics. We got an Olympics coming up in Brazil. Are we conditioning people here in the United States just to focus in on the big event, the World Cup, the Olympics? And are we paying enough attention to the NWSL? Yes, I know the attendance is up after the World Cup now, but are we just sort of conditioning people for the big event? And then how do you get the carryover into supporting the NWSL?
Yeah, that's a great question, Glenn. I mean, Americans love events. You know how it is. When we watch the Olympics, I'm watching curling and sports that I've never seen live, but I'm engaged because there's American athletes playing it. And that's kind of the fear, but we have star power now, and star power is going to translate to the NWSL and people coming out and seeing it. And it's a great level. It's one of the best leagues, if not the best league in the world. And, you know, people need to support it. And we need to continue to find big-time stars out of that league that will end up in the national team. And if you want to look in the past, Abby Wambach was discovered in that league. That's how she got into the national team. Shannon Box the same way, and there's countless players that have gotten their start with the national team from one of our professional leagues. The same thing will happen in the NWSL.
All right, the future of U.S. women's soccer, the likes of Abby Wambach, do you think she remains on the team? Because she hasn't made a commitment to where her future is. Is this a time that she needs to be phased out with all the wonderful, illustrious things she's done? Because it's very important, the timing of how you deal with a star player. And, you know, if you keep one, if you phase them out, how does that work, Tony?
Yeah, this one's a tricky one. And you've already heard of retirement. Shannon Box is retiring. Lauren Holliday is retiring. Lauren Kolupny is retiring. Abby Wambach hasn't said she's retiring or not. But if you remember leading up to the World Cup, she chose not to play in the NWSL. So if she wants to play in the Olympics, she has to commit to improving her game and getting it and keeping it as high a level as possible. It's not going to be at the 2011 level in the 2011 World Cup, but she's got to commit to keep improving her game. She can't just play with the national team and then just, you know, figure that's enough to keep improving her game. So that's a tough one for Jill Ellis, and they've got to sit down and have a heart-to-heart. She's such a leader. You want to try to keep that leader on the field with the team. But her role is going to be different. And the other player that's kind of in the same place that I think wants to continue playing, I'm not sure Abby Wambach wants to continue playing, but the player who wants to continue playing is Christy Rampone. She turned 40 in Canada. She'll be 41 in Brazil. When do you make the move? So there's a couple of difficult discussions for Jill Ellis, and we'll see how it all turns out.
Case of Abby, do you wish she had not sort of denounced playing in the NWSL and kind of hung in there with that? I understand the personal side of it and the preparation for a World Cup, but I think some may have taken that as sort of a negative towards the NWSL when one of its star players didn't want to remain in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a negative, and negative for her, too, because she wasn't getting 90 minutes with the, you know, women's national team. So here's a chance to get 90 minutes, get yourself ready for the World Cup, and she chose to just kind of train on her own, you know, do some with an individual trainer, and I'm not sure that's the best way to get yourself ready for an Olympics or a World Cup. She's got to take care of herself. She still had a meaningful World Cup, but certainly not an Abby Wambach type of performance or impact.
Did she clearly, it looked like she clearly accepted a very differing role under Jill Ellis, still remained a good teammate. That's what it looked like from the outside.
Yeah, and you got to give credit to Jill Ellis on this, because if you, you know, look back at 2011, the German star Birgit Prinz was kind of in the same place. Is she a starter? Is she not? And Sylvia Nye, the German coach, never sorted it out. So in the first game she started, she was so-so. Now she gets benched. Now the team gets split because of it. And, of course, Germany in 2011 as the host went out in the quarterfinal. I thought Jill Ellis handled this early on. I thought also Abby Wambach, you know, adopted her role as a sometime starter, supporter from the bench, late game entry type player, and was all class in how she handled it, remained a leader on the team, and that was really, really important for the USA.
Any players on the fringe, on the outside, in your mind, Tony, that we should look for maybe breaking through at the full national team level here in the United States?
Well, Crystal Dunn was one of the last ones cut from the USA, and she's leading the NWSL in scoring. So she's somebody that now needs to get into the mix, and she's a big-time player and can play a bunch of different positions. She can play right back. She can be a winger, which she's playing for Washington. Another player that I've been promoting for a long time since 2008 when I coached her to the U-20 World Cup is Keelan Winters, who's captain of Seattle. And again, Seattle won the regular season championship 2 years in a row. Keelan Winters is in the center of midfield. Guess what? Lauren Holiday in the center of midfield just retired. She's got to get a real look. And this kid can play. And she's a great holder in midfield, but she can come forward and score goals. And I love coaching her, and coached her with the Boston Breakers too. And so I hope she gets a look. And there's at least a handful of others that need to get a look. Somebody in the center of defense needs to get a look. And this is where the league is so important.
Tony, thank you for your time as always. We appreciate it, and we'll look forward to seeing you again.
Thanks, Glenn. Always a pleasure.
All right, the one and only Tony DiCicco. We'll take a break here. The Best in Soccer Talk rolls on.
Yeah, we will not take a break. We're going to stay here for a few minutes till we wrap things up. We're going to connect with Jan Christensen of Danish Inspirations. They have a big Labor Day sale this weekend, and if you want the best in modern furniture, visit Danish Inspirations. They're at 2775 Fondren Road in Houston, and hours this weekend, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. through Saturday, then Sunday noon to 6, and of course, Labor Day, they'll be open. Labor Day sale, Danish Inspirations Modern Furniture, serving Houston since 1982, and we are now connected with Jan Christensen. Jan, how you doing?
Hey, man, great show tonight, man, and we're getting ready for a big Labor Day weekend sale here, and of course, we have the fantastic Argentina and Bolivia just for Labor Day weekend here. So that's going to be a great start for the Labor Day weekend. But we'll have a great amount of great contemporary furniture on sale. And we'll have the international games on all weekend and in the store, you know. So I'm telling everybody just to come on in and hang out and get some great furniture, some great deals.
Yeah, international games, teams getting tuned up. Any particular items, anything new that you're especially excited about?
Well, of course, being Danish, you know, Denmark is playing Albania. And Albania have their best team ever, and they have the first chance ever to go to the European Championship. But we play them in Copenhagen, and where we just beat Serbia a few months ago. I was having the pleasure of being at that game. But Denmark-Albania is big for me, you know, because if Denmark win that game, we are almost 90% sure to go on to the European Championships.
Well, I'm rooting for him. You know my last name, Jan. It's Pedersen with a D, P-E-D-E-R-S-E-N. So that's, you know, one of my ancestors' main countries. So I'm rooting for them about as hard as you are.
Okay. That sounds great, man. It's going to be great. And Labor Day is always a great sale weekend. And, you know, so tell everybody to come on out as you just did. And I appreciate it. And Danish Inspiration has been around for a long time. And we love soccer. We love the show. We love everything about the Houston Dynamos. And, you know, we just need to make the playoffs this year and everything will be good. I appreciate you taking my call and have a great night.
No problem. Yeah. Any quick takeaways from the Premier League's transfer deadline day?
Well, I was shocked by the De Gea thing, that David De Gea didn't go to Real Madrid, man. I mean, I think they're going to appeal it, but I was shocked about that and because I thought it was great if Man United got Navas there, but it seemed like it could go down the drain. But But besides that, you know, I was a little disappointed that Arsenal didn't pick up somebody, a really good attacker up front, you know. But we'll see what happens. And I think the Premier League, you know, this year belongs to Man City. You know, they got Kevin De Bruyne, of course, as everybody knows. And I don't think anybody can beat them this year. Well, they will be beaten, but I think they're going to go run away with the way the other teams are struggling.
Well said, Jan. I agree with you. Danish Inspirations Modern Furniture Labor Day Sale. Visit Jan this week and watch all those international games. Good luck to Denmark against Albania, Jan.
Thanks a lot, man. Have a great night.
2775 Fondren Road in Houston. All weekend, their Labor Day Sale. Thanks to Michael Carroll, our producer. Thanks to Michael. Thanks to Glenn Davis for our hosting duties. Thanks to all of our great sponsors. Liberty Kitchen, 7-Up, Bud Light, the Daspit Law Firm, Gorgeous Gale, Bar Munich, and of course, Amigo Energy, and of course, Danish Inspirations. Always great to talk with Jan. We will wrap things up from Houston. Back with you tomorrow night. Dynamo All Access, 7 to 9, Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.